I love the music. I love it. Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks for tuning in. Is that Michael Robbins' music? It is indeed. One of our friends here in Atlanta who has a band. A lot of people I've discovered who listen to this program also make music. Got an email from Mel Shantz. I'll share with you a little bit later. Hey, welcome to St. Patrick's Day and the Malloy program. Hope you had a good day. Did you wear green today? I wonder why we don't wear, like, blue and white on... Do the Swiss have any... Do they have any national heroes or saints who drove the snakes out or anything? No? Well, I'm real happy. I'm real happy to be Irish on St. Patrick's Day. Molly went to class today with her little preschool class, all dressed in her green T-shirt with a shamrock on it, and with a name like Molly Malloy. Is there any doubt then? Do you have any doubts about whether or not? Well, back when we were employed, we used to talk about maybe going to Ireland someday and just stepping off the boat or the plane and saying, "Hi, my name is Mike Malloy. This is my wife, Catherine Malloy. This is my daughter, Molly Malloy. We're here looking for some cheap place to stay. Have you got one?" No? Okay. Hey, how about Senator Charles Grassley suggesting harakiri for the AIG executives? This is great. This is great, man. You know, Charles Grassley, Republican from Iowa, suggesting suicide. Man, these people are picking up on my riff every time I turn around. You know, I talk about murdering the Republican Party. I talk about hanging people from lampposts. And everybody, you know, I get these little emails from the right-wing turds that listen to the program and go report to each other. Did you hear what he said? Quick, put a YouTube up. Quick, quick, quick. You know, I think to myself, hey, dudes, here you are. Here's your Iowa Republican. I mean, this guy, who is the character in It's a Wonderful Life? Who is the banker there? Mr. Who? Mr. Potter. Right. He kind of looks like a skinny Mr. Potter, doesn't he now? But there's Charles Grassley saying that he thinks that these executives ought to apologize to the American public and then do what they do in Japan and just, you know, fall on their swords. Actually, it's a ceremonial knife, and it's not Harry Carey, so don't call it that, okay? But anyway, Grassley did an interview, was it today, with David Schuster on MSNBC. He didn't apologize for her comments that AIG people should either resign or go commit suicide. Instead, and this is kind of cool, this shows you that Grassley's kind of a little hoppy toad. You know, he knows how to dance around, right? He dismissed the question, saying people should know rhetoric when they hear it. Republicans know rhetoric? What? You know, I can come on this program and say, you know, I think somebody will beat Rush Limbaugh's ass. And the next day it'll be on the Drudge Report. That's just rhetoric, boys! Grassley said, I hope you recognize rhetoric, and I shouldn't even have to answer that question. Pressed by Schuster, who asked if Grassley had any regret for his phrasing, Grassley struck a defensive tone. What have you got here for me? Where's this from? Is this from... Crooks and Liars or Media Matters? I don't know. I apologize for not crediting this the way it should be credited. But Grassley struck a defensive tone. He said, I've stated that you ought to be able to tell rhetoric when you hear it. And he added that Japan has systems in place for recriminations against those who act shamefully or unethically in business. He says, what I've been expressing is that we need to have that deep bow with some sort of apology. I think the taxpayers are entitled to that. And he added that not giving out bonuses is just small recognition that they owe the American people a lot. Blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, blah, blah, blah. Ed in Wilkes-Barre writes, the Grassley principle should be applied to Bush and Cheney. They screwed up worse than the AIG executives. Yeah, it really, you know, I'd be willing to run the popcorn concession for that one. Are you kidding me? Well, Prairie 2 has something to say about that. Subject line is an ignorant corn farmer from Iowa ended the world. Yeah, when I saw the subject line, I thought, Prairie 2 has written us a little piece of science fiction here. But listen. This is the title, Faux Outrage, or How an Ignorant Corn Farmer from Iowa Ended the World. A slow-footed reporter could get trampled today by the Rush Republicans trying to get to a microphone to demand the execution of AIG executives. Shocked. Shocked, they say, about the AIG bonuses, even though they blocked the $500,000 limit on executive pay that Obama wanted to include in the TARP bill. Chuck Grassley produced the most insincere display of outrage, demanding honor suicides from AIG execs when he is the senator most directly responsible for what happened. He set us on the course at full speed toward the credit derivative iceberg that has plunged us all into the dark and icy water. The sanctimonious senator from Iowa was the chief sponsor of the 2005 bankruptcy reform bill that was touted as an end to consumer bankruptcy. It gave foreign investors the confidence to buy U.S. securitized debt, thinking that it really was AAA rated like the lying rating agency said it was. This wasn't the worst thing about this bill, however. Buried inside was a reform of the ranking of creditors in a business bankruptcy proceeding. Now, normally, liquidated assets go to pay employees, then first mortgage holders, then the IRS, and on down the line with unsecured creditors expecting to get nothing when a company goes bankrupt. Under Grassley's reform, holders of credit derivatives who would normally be left holding the bag if a company like AIG went under or even filed Chapter 11 were instead catapulted to the front of the line. This is the reason Obama cannot let AIG go under, because that would force AIG to pay off God knows how much in derivatives, all of which would automatically go into default and be payable at once. Now, that's not the bad part. The masters of the universe and all the banks and companies that got in on the madness sold derivatives on the derivatives. It's thought that they may run 10 layers deep and maybe more. This is how you can have a quadrillion, that's a million billion, a quadrillion dollars worth of these completely worthless pieces of paper based on a few billion in U.S. debt. If this happened and AIG could not pay its derivatives debt, or even if it did, it would trigger the next layer derivatives to all be due immediately. The resulting panic would destroy the world economy within days. No currency would be worth anything, and it would quickly become dog-eat-dog, not just at the local Walmart, but between nations, as those with military power moved to secure resources for their own people. This can all be unwound, but there are those who want to bring on collapse. Beware the faux outrage from the right. Prairie 2. Well, you know, I'm going to have to include myself in that outrage crowd. I still am trying to figure out what the hell happened and how it happened and how serious it is. And I guess Prairie 2 makes it very clear. If AIG were allowed to fail, you know, I think it ought to be rescued. But I think that, you know, suicide is very honorable, but I think a firing squad can be just as honorable. I mean, it can. Hanging or the guillotine is kind of I don't know, it's kind of demeaning. But a firing squad is very honorable. You stand there, you're on your feet, you have a blindfold on if you choose, and, you know, you face, if you don't choose for a blindfold, you face your executioners. But I guess I have come around to the point where I have been convinced by people in a negative way, like, oops, what was that? People in a negative way, like Paul Krugman, and in a positive way, by our economics correspondent, Prairie 2, that AIG must be saved, and after it's saved, and after everything does not come crashing down, then take the executives out. No trial's necessary. We have plenty of prima facie evidence. And shoot them! Thank you.
Hey, Truth Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. It is a sideshow. I mean, the whole thing is a complete joke. This AIG meltdown and the resulting takeover by you and me. We now own 80% of it. I'd like to cash my percentage in, frankly. I need the money. But it is a joke in one sense. It's very serious, as Prairie 2 pointed out. It's a very serious situation here. And of course they should be taken out and shot. Absolutely. Trial? Come on. We all know they're guilty because what they have done is set this whole thing up to end the world. Now, there should be a penalty for that. There's no penalties for authorizing torture in the United States. There's no penalties for subverting the Constitution. There's no penalties for invading other countries. But should there be a penalty for trying to end the world? And shouldn't it be something swift and extreme like a firing squad? I happen to think so, but that's just me, you know. One of the arguments to continue to pay these rapacious sons of bitches the money was that if they weren't paid, they'd leave the company. Huh? That's the part I don't quite understand. Now, let me backtrack. This whole thing is a sideshow. It really is. But it happens to be a very serious sideshow. This is like being on the midway at a carnival. And, you know, there's important things to do. A midway at a state fair, important things to do. Go look at the, you know, the cows and the jelly preserves and all this other stuff. But then there's the freak alley, you know, where they have the woman who has the head of a cow and the man who is from the waist down a snake or whatever. And that's kind of a sideshow until you walk into one of those places and you see that there's an animal there that can reproduce itself at an alarming rate, and it eats humans, and there's no way to stop it from eating humans, and it's in a cage, and oh my. So yeah, the AIG thing is a sideshow, but. So the big argument about withholding the bonuses, oh, well then, the U.S. government is going to void contract law. What the goddamn hell is going on? A contract law? A contract between AIG and the division that set up the most incredible destructive scam in the history of capitalism. And the pig man and the limbots are all screaming about, well, you know, you can't have the government step in and nullify a contract. What if the lives of billions, literally, of people depended on nullifying that contract and executing the people who did it so that they don't ever do it again? Isn't that the argument that you hear from the capital punishment proponents? Huh? Well, goddammit, kill him! Then he'll never shoot another grocery store clerk dead again! That's what you do with that! Well, okay. Okay. I mean, in a way, advocating capital punishment in, you know, that's a struggle I'm involved in constantly about whether or not I don't believe in it or do believe in it. I go back and forth. But this is different. This company and the executives in one division must have spent hours figuring out how can we set something up here that ultimately, every pyramid has a top. When it reaches the point and you can't build on it any further, how can we set something up here that ultimately is going to crash the entire planet? God. And they must have spent how many nights up until 3 a.m. doing cocaine and all sorts of speed, just furiously writing numbers down, going on their computer, figuring out, how do we do this? How do we collapse the entire global economic system? I know. Debt swap derivatives. Oh, wait, we got to work on that name a little bit. It's got to be, we'll come up with something. That's not a capital offense. 11 AIG workers who received retention bonuses of $1 million or more have already left the company. Remember that? Oh, and remember that argument?
Well, we got to pay the bonuses. We'll leave all these good people.
Good people? Jesus, things have gone wonky, haven't they? I mean, we are so far through the looking glass at this point. It's just time to head for the popcorn concession. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. There may not be anything anyone can do about it. But remember back in February when Obama announced that the top executives' pay at companies accepting TARP funds would be capped at $500,000, with any additional compensation coming only in the form of stock options that could not be cashed until the government had been repaid? And remember what sort of reception that goddamn communist idea got? Remember that? As news of the plan leaked out, wealthy Wall Street went into panic mode, insisting that the caps would ruin the financial industry. Oh, my God, caps? $500,000? More on this when we come back. Stick around.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's More Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. Yeah, happy St. Paddy's Day. So, a Republican senator suggests that AIG's executive should resign or commit ritual suicide in shame over the bonus payments. I say they should be shot at sunrise by a firing squad. Sober or not, just, you know, boom, boom, boom. Because what they devised was a scheme to end civilization as we know it. Well, they were just greedy sons of bitches, but the result of their damage, as Prairie 2 points out, could lead to thermonuclear war. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, goddamn, come on. Oh, holy cow. In a letter yesterday, New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo said 11 workers have left the company, including one individual who received a $4.6 million payment. That's in addition to 10 more who got bonuses, retention bonuses. I guess they're Republicans. They don't know what the hell the word retention means. Retention bonuses of $1 million or more. And after they got that, they split. Here's your money. Oh, bye. Now, regarding those bonuses, back in, I think the first week in February, Obama announced that top executive pay at companies accepting these funds would be capped at $500,000. And the only way these parasitic son of a bitches, who I am starting to hate more than I hate Dick Cheney, which I thought Dick Cheney was the absolute, what's the word I'm looking for? Quick, Kathy. The peak, the Mount Everest of my hatred. But I've discovered that my capacity to hate people that screw up my country, my constitution, or my planet, I've got even a greater capacity to hate. Man, that's really a good. I'm going to have to see my therapist about that, because I had no idea I had that much capacity to hate. But I do. Obama suggested that their pay would be capped at $500,000, period, with any additional compensation, including bonuses, coming in the form of stock options that could not be cashed until the government had been repaid, until the American people had been repaid. So when he said that, and news leaked out, Wall Street went into a near goddamn panic meltdown, insisting that these kinds of caps would ruin the financial industry. Hello! Hey, bastards! You've already ruined it! Which is not necessarily a bad thing, as we've been talking about in this program. Let it die. Let the whole thing die. But not if it's going to result in thermonuclear war. See, Prairie 2 is right. I hadn't thought about that. If the entire global everything implodes, then there will be explodes that come later. And, you know, we just don't want that, do we? CNBC host, another one of these vermin, Joe Kernan, proclaimed that morning, "It's a nightmare for any financial institution. A nightmare, I swear, $500,000. Who in the hell can live on that?" Oh, oh. Fox Business host Alexis Glick said, "It's evidence that Obama's being a little anti-business." Oh, oh. Others insisted that the draconian caps, $500,000 in pay, with stock options if they earned it. Draconian! Those caps would drive the best and the brightest away from Wall Street. And that Obama's anger over executive bonuses was misplaced. Okay. There's nothing I can add to that. There's nothing I can add to that. There are people in the United States, in our system, who are parasites. What do you do with a parasite? If it's a bad parasite, and I think most parasites are by definition, you have to remove it. You have to remove it. You have to get rid of it. And the best thing to do with a parasite is kill it. Because it feeds off the host. And if the host is us, hello? Is this rocket science? Is this hard to understand? I mean, who among us don't get this? I mean, we don't even allow our own children to stick around after they've what? I don't know, if they finish high school, or if they're going to college locally, well, maybe okay, but at some point we even kick our children out. We even draw the line there. Hey, come back and see me. Nice having you around for the past, 23 years. Time to get out on your own. We'll get together again. Bring your children if you ever have any. Bye! I love you! I love you! Come back and see me! Goodbye! I mean, we do that to our own children. Not that our children become parasitic, but you know what I'm saying, right? If you've been a parent or if you have nieces and nephews, you know what I'm talking about. We love them. I love all of my kids. I love the grown ones. You know what I love most about them? They're working! Well, not most, but it's right up there, you know, whatever. So we do that with our own kids, but with these vermin, like the executives at AIB who took millions in retention bonuses and then left. Yo, wait a minute. Retention. You know what that means?
I don't care.
It just takes, I don't know, it takes gonads of steel to do that, doesn't it, huh? Even the female executives who took the money and took off. Andrew Cuomo, New York Attorney General, wrote, AIG made more than 73 millionaires in the unit, which lost so much money that it brought the firm to its knees, forcing a taxpayer bailout. Something is deeply wrong with this outcome. I hope the committee, Barney Frank's House Committee on Financial Services, I hope the committee will address it head on. Oh, my God. I don't know why waste time with committees. I'm serious. Why waste time with committees? I mean, why not follow the lead of our exalted Republican leadership, who, after a bunch of Saudi freaks attacked this country, we immediately attacked Afghanistan. and in Iraq. I mean, it didn't take very long to come to the conclusion that even though there were wrong conclusions by these freak-ass Cheney and Bush people, but they came to the conclusion rather rapidly. Somebody has to die. A country has to be annihilated. Thousands, nay, tens of thousands, nay, hundreds of thousands of people must die for this. Okay. And that mission has been accomplished, hasn't it? As a matter of fact, it keeps going on. It's the gift that doesn't stop giving. There is more blood and gore than, I don't know, Dick Cheney or George Bush planned on, or maybe they did. I don't know anymore. I don't know anything anymore. But here we have people who have tried to destroy the entire world, not with bombs and bullets, but by creating a pyramid of junk that tied in the economies of everybody on Earth and their monetary systems. And I mean, everything. What's been left out of this scheme? Bernie Madoff? Oh, Jesus Christ. Will everybody forget Bernie Madoff? Bernie Madoff was a little player. Matter of fact, who wrote this? Rollin in Vancouver, Washington, right? Mike, love your show and your anger and passion, about the same level as mine, although I notice you have tempered some of the anger in your commentary. I am kind of slow, Rollin writes, but lately I've been wondering why all the bad press Bernie Madoff has been getting, and now I'm convinced it's because he's a Jew. After all the clowns in the photo below, and he sent me a picture that had the three Bush boys and Pappy Bush, After all, the clowns in the photo below did far worse to completely innocent people from all walks of life, not just the rich and famous. Can you find the two mass murderers in the picture? Yeah, it would be George Herbert Walker Bush and George W. Bush. I got that. There are several ways in which the Bush family plays into the savings and loan scandal, which involves not only many members of the Bush family, but also many other politicians that are still in office. Jeb Bush, George Bush Sr., and his son Neil Bush have all been implicated in the savings loan scandal, which cost American taxpayers over $1.4 trillion. So I'm convinced they went after Bernie because he's a Jew. Well, you know, you may be right. You may be right. And also, there's nothing like the lone bandito, right?
Hello, this is Jay Johnson, the 36th director of the United
States. There we go. The lone highwayman, who decides to start stealing as much as he can. So maybe that's it. I don't know. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
No more Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Jesse writes in, this is kind of related to what we're talking about. I finally get it. This rally in the stock market started from a leaked internal or planted memo from Citibank on March 9th. The Dow Jones closed at 65.47 on March 9th, and today 73.95. Can you say Funhouse? Nearly a 1,000-point increase off of a leaked or planted internal memo by Citibank, no data to support it, yet raise any questions of suspicion surrounding the United States government version of 9/11, and you're given a derogatory label. This is real-time psychological assessment. This is a real-time psychological assessment of this country, along with an internal morass, internal moral compass, and intellectual capacity evaluation, underscoring whomever controls the commercial media controls the masses. Come to terms with what really occurred on 9/11, and we get our country back. Until then, take another ride through the funhouse. Well, yeah, okay. You know, no argument from me. All right, when we come back after the break at the top of the hour, we're going to take some phone calls. So, the number here is 877-99-MALLOY. And we'll open the phone lines as soon as we go to commercial break at the top of the hour. So the number is 877-99-MALLOY. If you would like to call in. Last night, I said that Florida, because of whatever the reason was last night, I love going to the beach in Florida and so on and so forth. I forget what the issue was last night, but I suggested it should be cut off between Tallahassee and Jacksonville. Just saw it off and allowed to float away after all the good people got out. Was it because of the Republicans? I forget. Anyway, Ed in Miami writes, Mike, I know South Florida is plagued with a whole bunch of the worst scum, just like any other of the Deep South states, minus a vast number of bad illegal immigrants. You know, most of the ones that break their backs in the farms down here are good illegal immigrants, as they help to keep the price of our produce low. But saw us off? I'm hurt. I think you're just jealous of the weather we get down here 5 months out of the year. In all honesty, Mike, all things considered, the great majority of illegal immigrants down here, even legal immigrants, are far more docile and humble than your average right-wing NRA Bible thumper Dixie flag-waving redneck. Living down here exposes you to something which was a key element for the success and expansion of many of the great societies in history, and that is tolerance! I realize I'm preaching to the choir, but come on, Malloy, don't saw us off. Some of us down here like you a lot. Ed in Miami. Okay, I take it back. I take it back. I do. I take it completely back. And the latest deal from Fox News yesterday on the yesterday afternoon, Fox News is Martha McCallum, one of those brain dead moronic faces that they have on Fox News. Oh, my God. Martha McCallum introduced a segment highlighting Council of Economic Advisors Chairman Christina Romer's claim on Sunday on, what was it, on one of the talk shows, that, quote, the fundamentals of the economy are sound, end quote. Now, after weeks of economic gloom and doom, the Obama administration is now singing a slightly different tune, McCallum said, the Fox News geek, the reader. And she then played clips of Christina Romer and other administration officials making seemingly positive comments about the current state of the economy. Now, one of the clips was Vice President Biden saying, the fundamentals of the economy are strong. After the segment, McCallum said, all right, well, the mantra for the weekend is clear, looking at what was said over the course of the shows on Sunday. But the clip of Biden seemingly making a recent remark about the strength of the economy is grossly inaccurate. That Biden statement was actually from last September during the presidential campaign when he was quoting John McCain. McCain had said that, and Biden said, oh, so McCain says the economy is fundamentally sound, when, of course, it wasn't. So Fox News puts that out there yesterday. Now, today, they issued retraction. They apologize for dishonest splicing of the Biden clip. Today, the same bubble-headed bleach blonde Martha McCallum apologized to viewers and said it was an inadvertent error. Yeah, here's what she said. Yesterday, during a segment of the recent change in tone from Obama's economic team, we inadvertently used a piece of video of Vice President Biden saying the fundamentals of the economy are strong. This video was from the campaign trail when the Vice President was a candidate, and he was actually quoting Senator John McCain. When we get something wrong, we admit it. We did so yesterday, and for that, we apologize. Think progress is Baez Shakir said today, quote, these are the types of mistakes we can expect to arise when a television network is so hungry to make a partisan point. It ended up fabricating the facts to bolster a false right-wing argument. It's not fair, and of course it's not balanced. You know, when they set up the firing squads, I've got some other names I'd like to submit for consideration. Remember what happened during the French Revolution? Terrible, terrible time. Matter of fact, it ceased being the French Revolution, became what was called the Terror. Now, students of French history will understand right away what I'm talking about, but they didn't stop with the nobility, did they? Oddly enough, when Kathy and I were on our way into the preschool today to pick up Molly, we talked about this. We talked about how the terror supplanted the French Revolution, and they started going after damn near everybody, the priests, the merchant class, average Republicans. No, not here. We'll see you after the top of the hour. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Work as a boy in a government store. But the volunteers called, he could not disobey. So he came back to Dublin to join in the fray. At Easter 1916, when Pierce called him out, the men from the Dublin battalion rode out. And in the post office, they nobly did show how a hand...
Welcome back. It is about 7 past the hour. The Malloy program. We will come to your calls here in just a moment. A couple of emails here. This is from PL. Will that work? Gosh, I wish you folks would just put a fake name. Just put Ralph or something. Regarding AIG. This company is poison. We need to bring the corporate death penalty back. Yet, even if we had that remedy, we wouldn't be able to use it in this case. Indeed, we do need to bail out AIG. The greedy bastards have so insinuated themselves into our fraudulent system, the one we call capitalism, with the shockingly wide reach of their credit default swaps, that if we kill them, or let them fail, the whole world goes down too in such a manner that would make the Great Depression seem pleasant by comparison. As much as I hate this company that doesn't make anything, doesn't do anything, but move money around, anyone who thinks we don't have to prop up these bastards is an idiot. We'd probably be talking global war and scrounging around for seeds. This is what the Friedman, Reagan free market created and Bush, Clinton, Bush enabled. Yeah, that's very true. I wonder how, Pappy Bush is completely senile now. George W. Bush doesn't have a clue of what's been going on for the past 20 years because he's a dry drunk and a coke addict. And Clinton, how does Clinton do this? How does he continue to just cruise around, floating above all this, collecting his massive fees when he was as instrumental in destroying everything as any Republican, maybe even more so. Clinton could have vetoed this move by the Republicans led by Phil Graham, who was a senator from Texas back in 96, to rescind Glass-Steagall. The law passed back in the 30s that said banks should remain banks, investment houses remain investment houses, insurance companies remain insurance companies. All Clinton had to do was say no and veto it. All Clinton had to do was say, look, after taking a look at this NAFTA thing, nah, I'm going to go, I'm going to go with the idea that it's poison, just like Ross Perot said. No, but Clinton didn't do that. And he sold it to the American public. He and Pappy Bush and this punk ass that was just in there. So, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around, right? It's not all Republicans where it concerned this. It's just that the Republicans are swine. The Republicans wanted this to happen because Republicans hate America. They want the system to collapse, so to be replaced by some form of militarism or fascism or corporatism that is locked in. That's what Republicans want. The Democrats went along with this, I think, because they're cowards. They're absolute pee-in-your-pants cowards, every last one of them. Not Obama. Obama, well, I don't know yet about Obama. You know, how long has he been in office? 75 days? I have no idea. We'll see. But the Democrats, for the past, ever since the so-called, not another blank spot in my brain. The contract on America, Newt Gingrich, ever since that, Democrats have been absolute, utter cowards. Like I say, just pee-in-your-pants cowards. They're afraid to do anything. They didn't stop anything. They didn't prevent anything. And not that Republicans are brave. Republicans just do what they're told. Get out! Oh, yes, sir. Okay. You know, but Democrats are just cowards, like Bart Kopp calls them. Pink tutu Democrats. That's all. Oh, hello. Yes, I'm going to help destroy America. La, 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 la. Because I don't have the guts to stop it. Now, regarding all these Republicans walking around now in the persona of Charles Grassley, he's the main one because he calls for ritual suicide, which just cracks me up. Oh, my God. Back in February, when Obama made the suggestion that the executives that take taxpayer or, you know, bailout money, that their pay be capped at $500,000 a year, and any bonuses come in the form of stock options that couldn't be cashed until after they'd paid back the government. Oh my God, that is really communism, isn't it? Well, back then, a little over a month ago, Senate Minority Whip John Kyle blamed the what he called tone-deaf bankers for creating the political environment that allows Obama to call for a cap. Kyle said this, quote, because of their excesses, very bad things begin to happen, like the United States government telling a company what it can pay its employees. That's not a good thing in America. It isn't? That's the end of the quote. That isn't a good thing, John? What would be a good thing? Just allowing the predatory sons of bitches to ignore everything and just continue with their scam? Mel Martinez, Republican of Florida, said at the time, what executives have done is troubling, but it's equally troubling to have government telling shareholders how much they can pay the executives, end quote. Government telling shareholders how much they can pay the executives. Oh, come on, Mel, get your head out of your ass. The shareholders didn't tell executives anything. And the shareholders in the rescue of AIG are damn sure not Americans. We didn't have a shareholders meeting and vote on this. Nobody voted on this. And then that thug James Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, said at the time, I'm one of the chief defenders of Obama on the Republican side for Obama's efforts to reach across the aisle. But, said Inhofe, as I was listening to him to make these statements, I thought, is this still America? Do we really tell people how to run a business and who to pay and how much to pay? Well, we do, you dumbass, if the business comes to the American people and says, give me all your money. Because I set up a scheme that's going to sink the entire world's economy. Give me all your money. You're goddamn right, Mr. Inhofe, that the American people have a right to say to these thugs, okay, tell you what, we'll pay you quadruple the minimum wage. Now get your ass to work. And if they don't do it to save the company, then what you do, very simply, these people have more money put away than Dick Cheney or Kellogg Brown and Root. So you tell these executives, here you go, quadruple minimum wage. That's what you're going to work for. That's fair enough. Four times what the minimum wage is. So you get your asses to work. Now, here's the deal. If you try to run, what we're going to do is we're not going to kill you, no matter what that Malloy says. He's crazy. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure we're going to put your name on a list, just like a lot of people can't fly in this country now. Like a million people are on a no-fly list. We're going to put your name on a no-work list, okay? Because you don't know how to work anyway. And the only work you'll be able to have is something you do with your hands. You can become a carpenter, a plumber, a street sweeper, but that's it. That's it. So that you can come down out of this crazy goddamn twilight zone you live in, where you just, I mean, these people just, this is the absolute pinnacle of capitalism, where these guys make these decisions, and then laugh their asses off. This didn't just start. All through the Bush years. Don't you remember all those bonuses? That's why real estate prices in New York are just, they're an obscenity. You know, a one-bedroom, one-bath apartment in New York costs $1.5 million. I mean, what kind of insanity is that? Why is that? What drove it up there? Well, it's these punks, these pieces of human waste that wouldn't know how to earn a living if their lives depended on it. Well, why not make their lives depend on it? Seize their assets. Don't let them escape to go to those nice, relaxing havens where they all go. Seize their assets and just tell them, okay, here's the deal. Unwind what you've done at AIG. You got lots of time. Just remember, there are armed guards outside, and you will be paid. You'll be paid four times minimum wage, which will work out to about $28 an hour, which ain't bad. That's what the average auto worker makes, you know. And let's see how you boys do. And if you try to leave, we won't shoot to kill, we may shoot to wound, but your name will go on a list, and you'll never work again.
Like me, to be back where the dark moors sweep down to the sea, but for all his great powers, he's wishful like me, to be back where the dark moors sweep down to the sea.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. All right, let's, let me get back to this for just a moment, then we'll take your phone calls. The Republicans back in February, when Obama proposed these caps on the executive pay for any company that takes bailout money, and the cap would be $500,000, and bonuses had to come in stock options that couldn't be cashed in until the bastards paid back the American taxpayer. You know, that's how they put it. Like, you and I have a share in this? Oh, please, Jesus, God. You know, if we do, then give me mine. I need it right now. Satellite uplink bills I'd like to pay, right? It's hog snot. We don't own any of this. We just have to take the beating when it all collapses. Now, Democrats, Ryan Grimm, writing at Huffington Post back on February 6th, wrote, Democrats argue that banks that take government money must accept any rules the government decides to send with it. Duh! And as Ryan points out, that's not a novel concept, and it's one the Republican, the Limbaughs support when applied to welfare recipients, at least. Right? We demand the welfare recipients do an honest day's work for the honest day's work for their checks. Well, since Obama laid down the law, how about demanding that the guys who ran our banking system into the ground abide by our pay scales in return for our bailing them out? And that's $500,000 a year. See, I never would have done that. But of course, I'm just a talk show host. But I would have said to these people, all right, here's the deal. And I know, like we discussed at the beginning of the program, as Perry too wrote in, you know, you can't just walk away from AIG. Everything collapses. The global banking system collapses, and then people reach for their guns. And their guns in these cases are thermonuclear bombs. I mean, you can't. Let's not forget, truth seekers, that 90%, and I'm exempting you and I'm exempting me, 90% of the people on this planet are nuttier than fruitcakes. And in this country, oh my God, there are enough nutcases here, just absolute, well, they're all Republicans, but just absolute crazy people. And I don't know. I don't want to get into a situation where, I have to arm myself just to go to the local food co-op to see if there's any cabbages left, you know. Not that I wouldn't do it. Of course I would. But I don't want to. And if it means bailing out this goddamn horrible, cancerous AIG, well, then what are we going to do? We have to do it. We have to do it, don't we? But the pigs at the head of the trough, these executives, and that's another thing I don't understand. Are there not some good patriotic Americans who would step forward, people with a lot of, I bet you Paul Krugman would, people with a lot of understanding and experience on this, I'm sure Perry too would, well, I can't speak for him, but, people who would step up and say, look, get rid of everybody in the upper echelon of AIG. We'll run it and we'll unwind it and we'll bring this thing in for a safe landing, just like the guy that landed the plane in the Hudson. We'll do it. We'll do it. It's going to take like a year and a half, 2 years to do it, but we'll do it. And, you know, we'll do it for, pick a number. 75,000 a year? Prairie 2 just fainted. Whatever would be some fair wage. And unwind it, and then take the top level of executives and jail them. Just jail them. Put their asses in jail. Or shoot them. I don't care. Or give them ritual knives and let them fall forward like Senator Grassley suggested. You people think I'm crazy? Grassley suggests suicide. I suggest a firing squad. What the hell's the difference? Oh, my God, what they have done! What they have done. All right. Where are we? We're right here. RB is calling from Saskatoon in the Great White North. Hey, RB.
Hello, Mike. How are you? Long time no hear.
Yeah. How come you guys didn't do something, why aren't you down in Calgary burning the city down?
Bush? I used to live in Calgary.
Yeah, but
if I was there, I would have been there, but I've been among the crazies outside screaming for his arrest, the war criminal.
I saw some video.
Sauntering his way into Calgary.
I saw some video today of a Canadian, I think he was Canadian, in a red jacket, who was being absolutely bum-rushed by the police because this Canadian had the absolute temerity to protest the fact that a war criminal and mass murderer was on Canadian soil. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's quite embarrassing, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
What can you do? I mean, we had Suharto here. When Kretchen was prime minister 10 years ago, Suharto from Indonesia came here, and Kretchen ordered and he was a liberal. He ordered the RCMP to pepper gas the protesters and clear the roadway, and it was right on TV, and it's a proof positive. The RCMP is a political organization just like the FBI and the CIA are down there.
I hear you. Hey, guess what? We're coming up on a break. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back and we'll finish this up. We'll start it. All right? Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy on the No Name Network. Stay with us.
Yeah. stand back, here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, it sure is. 25 before the hour. We're talking with RB in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. All right, where were we?
Oh, we were talking about Bush up in Calgary,
yeah,
giving a speech to the Chamber of Commerce. That's an embarrassment. I just can't believe it. I mean, those people sitting there in their, you know, $5,000 suits, paid each, what, I don't know, $600 to be there to listen to this creep, the guy who's run every business he's had into the ground and every country he's been in charge of into bankruptcy. I don't know. I guess how to fail was the motto for the day.
Yeah, I guess so.
How to fail upwards. Anyway, also, hey, you know, you mentioned AIG, right? I don't know if you're a soccer fan, but a lot of people are.
No, not really.
The Manchester United, the most successful as far as monetary, you know, licensing club
right,
in the world, right.
Right?
Manchester United Football Club Soccer.
Right,
right. Right across the front of their chest is AIG because that's their chief sponsor. So I want Americans to realize out there that when you're paying, when your taxpayer money is going to bail out AIG, you're paying for the salaries of Ronaldo and Wayne Rooney. And I think Ryan Giggs is another guy. He's older. So, you know.
Well, I certainly appreciate that insight into in the soccer. I you know, being an American, we have as much interest in soccer here as we do in I don't know, in quilting bees.
Europe, people will always talk about Europe being, you know, a socialist, democratic type of nation, eh? But
right.
They're way more fascist or corporatist, actually, than America is,
right.
Because all their football or baseball, hockey teams, whatever, in their leagues there,
uh-huh.
are all corporate-owned, and they have their rinks are just covered with corporate logos, and their uniforms are covered from top to toe. They're like NASCAR drivers there.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's unbelievable. And so, anyway, but I was thought you were talking earlier about Obama, and you said you had some hopes for him.
Still, yes.
Yeah, I know, but I guess it would be like JFK-type hopes, because he's going to have to go through a revelation, because so far, everything he's done has been to continue the Bush policies, including allowing people at Guantanamo Bay. Just yesterday came out and said that they have no legal rights.
Well,
he surrounded himself with Geithner and
I know,
Emanuel.
I understand the apparent dichotomy in what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to what I said a month ago or 6 weeks ago when he started his presidency, and that is, I hope he's got a plan. I hope this is rope-a-dope. I hope this is let's face it, how long has he been in office? Since January 20th. It's not even 2 months. Maybe, you know, maybe he's working up to something. If not, then it's just the baton was handed off from a fascist wannabe to a corporatist. And I guess we here in the States can say, well, it was a good idea, and we all stuck around long enough to see our political system finally thrown into the garbage heap. Hey, I got to move on. Thanks,
all
RB.
Right.
Don't be a stranger, man.
I will go phone back.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Phone number here is 877-99-MALLOY. There is an open line if you dare. Sylvia is calling from Lebanon, Kentucky, listening on the internet. Hey, Sylvia.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Sylvia.
I'm here in the painfully red state of Kentucky, of course.
You're right.
No. And so, since there's not a whole lot of people to talk with here, except my husband, on occasion.
Well, you ought to live in Georgia, Sylvia. It's
yes.
It's even worse, dear.
My daughter lives in Birmingham. It's
oh my God.
Too, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But well, I don't have. I really couldn't. I couldn't hear the conversation you had with the last caller while I was waiting on the phone. So I don't have anything to add if you were talking about the AIG conversation. But I do love to hear you rail against those who are out to destroy truth, justice in the American way.
Yeah, yeah. I you know, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of seeing politicians do it, mostly, if not exclusively, from the right. And I'm sick of seeing these corporatists do it, who have not the least bit of respect for people who do get out there and try, small business people, small farmers, people who are trying to make a living, trying to play by the rules, and then these SOBs sit up there in wherever they sit, New York, Connecticut, Boston, I don't know where, and absolutely destroy the system. It's astonishing to me, Sylvia.
Right. No respect for people who actually make things with their hands or do real things that matter, that are important.
That's it. Well,
I subscribe to your podcast on the infamous Nova M, and I'm looking forward to being able to do that again. I was so delighted to see that your podcasts are on your website.
Yeah.
And I listened to yesterday.
Well, good. Right now they're free, so enjoy.
and I'll be glad to sign up whenever they're not free.
Well, I appreciate
it. It's important.
That.
It's important. I just can't live without it.
Well, when we do finally put a price tag on, it's going to be a lot cheaper than it was at Nova M. We're definitely counting on people to become subscribers / supporters of the Malay program. We'll see.
Oh yeah, well I'm definitely gonna, I'm there. And I was so happy also to discover some of your recordings. I hear you say occasionally, I mention you're having read 1984,
mm-hmm.
and I always wanted to hear it. So I was so delighted to discover that some of it anyway, is on this website, and I was just hoping I could get the rest of it at some point.
Well, so, if you send an email to Ben Birch, who has archived, I read the whole, I should say we, because Kathy had a role in it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were on Air America's network, we read the entire novel. It took a couple of months, one segment every night, one 18-minute segment or 60-minute segment every night. But if you go to MikeMalloy.com, mm-hmm. and you'll find an email address on there for Ben Birch.
I'll do that.
At White Rose Society. You can email him at WhiteRoseSociety.org.
Okay, I'll do that because I listened to the 17 segments that are on there,
uh-huh.
and I really enjoyed it a lot. I hadn't read it since probably 1984 myself, but it's delightful to hear it again. And do you not do audio book recordings?
No. Eventually, I may have to just to be able to pay the bills. But
well, you do so well. I mean, I guess your acting background and your really good voice. I think you really should do that too.
Well, thanks, Sylvia.
Oops,
where'd I go? There I am. Thanks, I appreciate it.
One more thing. I get the impression that you're fairly familiar with Kentucky. You always pronounce Louisville correctly.
Right.
And not everybody does. And you mentioned Bowling Green yesterday.
Right.
But I know you were from Northern Ohio. But
no, I spent a lot of time in Kentucky, and I've had friends in Kentucky. Dated a woman from Kentucky for about 6 years, a long time ago. I had a daughter who lived near Corbin, Kentucky for a while.
Uh-huh.
With her husband and baby. And as far as Louisville, yeah, I was told early on, don't you dare call it Louisville. Don't you dare, it's Louisville. So I stuck with it. Hey, listen, thanks, Sylvia.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right, take
care.
Good
luck with everything.
Thank you, ma'am. We'll talk again. I appreciate you checking in. It's Louisville. Just like it's Oregon, I learned. It's Nevada. And a lot of people want to say Nevada. It's Nevada. It's Oregon. It's Louisville. Elocution lessons on the Malloy program. Oh, good. Who's next? Carl is calling from Olympia, Washington, listening on the Internet. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Mike. You don't need to pronounce my name any differently than how it sounds.
Carl?
Yeah. But
Oh good. I thought it was Carol or Carol or Grill or
No, that's a future life.
Okay.
You know,
good.
When I get reborn as a woman or something, I don't know. I wanted to quickly mention to you guys apparently I can't hear any of the other callers.
You can't hear any of the other callers when you're on hold?
Yeah, that might be a flaw or something in the program.
I think it is. I think it is, and I think we will probably get it corrected very quickly.
But it's fine either way. I mean, you know, the good that Tom Hartman does, the good that you do, the good that Randy Rhodes has done, you know,
mm-hmm, right.
Hopefully she'll rise from the ashes again like a phoenix. But that's not what I really called about.
Okay.
What I really called about was looking at all these numbers on AIG on the TV today.
Right.
And all these, 6.8 million. 6.8 million for one, probably the CEO or something like that.
Right.
And 75 or 73 people got $100 or $1 million each or something like that. And that's way beyond my pay grade, of course.
I hear you.
But I went on to a salary, website, to gauge various salaries. And, CEOs make,
Yeah, I know. It's way up there. It's 350 or 400 times what the average worker makes. And that's got to stop. Carl, I got to leave you there. Thanks, pal. We'll talk again. We'll be right back after the break.
Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 minutes before the hour. The phone number here is, you have your choice, 877-99-MALLOY, or if you're Republican, it's 877-996-2559. 877-996-2559. I know it's difficult to translate those letters into numbers for certain people on the political spectrum, right? Kate T. writes in about the AIG bonuses. Mike, what about the hypocrisy concerning AIG and UAW, the United Auto Workers? It is pathetic, $35 an hour compared to... Well, you've got $150,000 and more per year for Wall Street mavens. It's more like $1.5 million per year for Wall Street mavens. And they bitch about the auto workers. What we the people should do as 80% owners is spin off that division of AIG that gets the bonuses that cause the larger part of the problem and declare bankruptcy on that division. Then the bonus contracts will be void. Large multinational corporations do it all the time. Get rid of the non-profitable division. It's just, good business. Or... let AIG go and make whole the people and entities that were harmed instead. Maybe the conservatives are concerned about AIG because AIG is holding CIA money. Thanks and take care, Kate. We can't let them go. That's the genius, the corrupt genius, the criminal genius of what these sons of bitches have done. And as Prairie 2 explained it tonight in the email that we read near the beginning of the program, it was set up in such a way that derivatives were sold on top. It's kind of like the nine rings of Dante's hell, Inferno. Was it nine rings? It's kind of like that. That if the top ring, which is all that we're paying, we're buying, I guess, if that collapses, or we're trying to prevent that to collapse, I guess we're buying the entire nine levels of hell here, but if that collapses, then the next one collapses, and the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. And when you get to the bottom, then the entire global economy ends. It ends. And various currencies become as worthless as the Deutschmark after World War One. It's just, that's... can't happen. I mean, I want to see capitalism absolutely fail and have it replaced with democratic socialism, but if that's got to be a transition. We're not talking armed revolution here. I mean, I know the Chuck Norris monkeys are, but what we're talking about is trying to bring this crippled jetliner in for a safe landing. We, you know, really, we do not want death and destruction here. I don't. So that's one of the reasons that, unless it's the corporate executives, I have no problem with offing them. As a matter of fact, we ought to make them pay for the bullets. Isn't that what the Soviets used to do when they would execute somebody with all their purges? After it was over, they would bill the widow or the widower and say, "Oh, by the way, you owe us, I don't even remember what their money was. Whatever it was, useless. But, instead of doing that, you know, we need to keep these monkeys around and feed them peanuts and bananas, not continue this gold-plated lifestyle that they're used to, and just tell them, unravel it, do it very slowly. And if it fails, if you fail to unravel it, then we will give you a knife and, you know, a little velvet-covered settee that you can lean against, and then, you know, we expect you to cut your guts out because you are swine. You tried to kill the whole world. I wanted to share this with RB when he called in from Saskatoon, but didn't. It's an old joke, and RB's probably heard it. An American and his wife were driving in Canada and got lost. Finally, they came into some city. They saw a gentleman on the sidewalk, so the gentleman pulled up to the curb, and the lady let down her window and asked, "Excuse me, sir, where are we?" The guy on the street replied, "Saskatoon, Saskatchewan." The lady rolled up the window, turned to her husband, and said, "We really are lost. They don't even speak English here." Shit-a-boom. I know RB has heard that. All right, we have a break coming up here, but what the hell. Roger is calling from Brooklyn, listening.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Just fine, Roger. How are you?
Good. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm continuing to follow you from station to station, and will continue.
Thank you very much.
Wherever you go.
Yeah, next year we'll be broadcasting probably with an uplink from, I don't know, Syria or, you know, a Paraguay.
All right. Well, I just have to say, though, about this whole AIG thing is, you know, these people have to be held accountable and punished. These people need to be severely punished, because it's like, it just seems like on their level, they're like addicts. They're like addicts in terms of, like, that they have to take, you know, they just have to constantly take and dupe the people and lie. And it's like the whole web that they're in, like Bernie Madoff there.
Yeah.
You know, they just can't help themselves, and they need to be helped. You know, we the people, if this was any other, like, more socialized country, I mean, people would be, like, in the streets, like, burning cars. And
yeah,
you know.
And this is United States, and that's not going to happen, obviously. Hey, Roger, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal.
Thank you.
Call again. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for tuning in. However you're listening tonight, radio, internet, XM, Sirius, what else? I guess that's it, huh? You know, the last caller talking about, I think we were talking a little bit about why can't the executives of these companies be punished? You know, I, in a very ironic way, compare executions of business thugs in other totalitarian countries and the honorable way of doing it in some Eastern countries of committing ritual suicide after bringing such shame, not just to one's occupation, but one's family, one's business, and one's country. There is no such thing as that sort of shame in this country at all. It just doesn't exist. The predators continue to predate, and they come back and do it again and again and again. And not only that, but it becomes kind of a comedic enterprise. It's laughable. It's kind of like, no offense here, if you're a used car salesman, I guess that's an extinct breed. But I've known enough used car salesmen in my life to know that every time they dip and stroke a customer who comes in looking for a car, when it's all over, they retire to the back room and laugh their asses off at what they just did to some poor chump who thought he got a good deal, when in fact he just got ripped deeply and permanently. But I digress. The AIG executives will not be punished on any level whatsoever. And the reason for that is clearly obvious, isn't it? This country has been run for the past 8 years. Forget the money. That's why I said earlier in the program, it's a sideshow. It's a freak show. It's a freak show, and it's a carnival midway, this AIG thing. Bernie Madoff was there for a while, but now he's off stage, so now we have the AIG executives. It's a freak show, that's all. We have a country that's been run for 8 years by war criminals, genuine by definition, by our law, international law, Geneva Conventions, and the Nuremberg trials, war criminals. There is no question here. By their own admission, by their actions, the country was run by war criminals. Probably 25 or 30 of the people that have been running the United States up until the Obama presidency would qualify as war criminals under very conservative definitions of the term, definitions laid out in legitimate, honest-to-God war crimes trials. And what have we done about it? The leadership of the Democratic Party said two and a half years ago, impeachment is off the table. The Democrats have been too pee on their own underwear, afraid to do anything of Democrats in government. And once the Republicans got that clearly inside their addled little brains, then all stops were out. There was no holding back. Why should there be? The Republicans are aware that their leadership committed war crimes, committed high crimes and misdemeanors. I mean, Jesus Christ, we indicted, i.e. impeached Bill Clinton for lying about a cheesy little affair with his girlfriend. Christ. They will not be punished, these AIG executives, or any executive will be, none of them will. One of the reasons, yeah, I understand now that Andrew Cuomo is going to the Attorney General in New York is going to start investigating them, look for some scandal about Andrew Cuomo to break very soon, but to find out if fraud were committed, if criminal laws were violated, and by the way, remember who is in charge while all this was happening? What's his name? Christopher. Who is the Senate of the House member from California? One of the impeachment managers, floor managers in the House back at the end of the 90s. And then Bush put him as the head of the SEC. And this filthy, rotten son of a bitch aided and abetted these people. If anyone goes to prison, he should lead the line. But they're not. None of them will. None of them will. This is a country, the United States of America, that tolerates war crimes. We tolerate women who have joined the military for whatever reason being raped and battered by their fellow soldiers. And we tolerate that. Suck it up, girly. You're in a man's army. You got raped? Keep driving. We don't punish certain categories of criminals in this country. We don't even bring them to trial. We executed people, summary street executions in Iraq because they didn't stop for a stop sign. Sorry, suck it up, keep driving. We don't punish people in this country in on certain levels of criminal activity, certain classes of people. But goddammit, you let some poor desperate son of a bitch walk into a bank with an unloaded 45 in his hand and walk out with $300. That poor sap is going to prison for the next 12 years. We don't punish people in this country that deserve to be punished. That's just the way we're structured, folks. This is not a nation of laws. It simply is not a nation of laws for certain people. So if we don't punish war criminals, and we don't, we're damn sure not going to punish a bunch of blithering punk asses who tried to bring down the entire global financial structure, because in the process they would have been able to steal handfuls of money. Diane from Pittsburgh says, tell me why these Republican swine are so appalled at the thought of our government breaking the contract, allowing millions of dollars of bonuses to be paid to these predators at AIG. But the first thing they scream with the automobile crisis is break the unions. Aren't those contracts? Hate isn't a strong enough word, Diane from Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's yeah, sure, absolutely. And then there's this from Bill in California, writes, Mike, I'm going to try to make this short enough for you to read. Ain't going to happen, I guess. I'm 64 years old. I grew up well-educated and believing in the basic democratic constructs of this country. My belief system weathered the 60s, the 70s, blah, blah, until Reagan appeared in 1980. When I felt a horrible cold wind start to blow, and it's been downhill ever since, exactly the way my inexplicable premonition was screaming at me in the background of my mind for all those first years of the 80s. The rest, of course, is miserable U.S. history. The parasites have gotten the best of us. I feel bizarre saying I'm personally fairly financially comfortable. I saved a bit in a small, clean bank here in Central California. Big deal. We are facing a catastrophic drought here. Things could get worse than we can imagine. Today, Tom Hartman robustly confessed to being a democratic socialist himself. I hate these effing parasites as much as you do. I knew some of them in Manhattan. I see corporate television showing unflattering footage of Obama. I hate to even hint at the ugliness they may be perpetrating against him. If you read this far, Mike, I would like to hear an example of what happens if AIG isn't bailed out. A real physical example. Do our cars stop starting in the morning or what? Bill in California. Well, I said it earlier, or I shared with you what our economic affairs correspondent said, Bill, so I'll do it again. Prairie 2 wrote in a rather lengthy report tonight, but the bottom part of it is the only, I think this is the part I answer your question. We got a break here? We do? All right. Well, then we're still not real sure on how to stretch the brakes so like we used to. So, you know, it's a lot different when you're doing it on your own, let me tell you. We used to talk about how two of us would handle the job of three people or four people. Now two of us are trying to do the job of about six people, but that's radio. We're not complaining. We're not complaining. Stick around. I'll share with you, Bill, and everybody else what Prairie 2 wrote earlier this evening in case you missed it. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
If you can see the changes that have come over me in these last few days, I've been afraid that I might drift away. I've been telling old stories, singing songs that make me let
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you.
Twenty-one past the hour. Welcome back. I understand we're having some volume problems with the program tonight, whether it's over the air or on the internet or if you're on hold. A lot of bugs here. Again, all I can tell you is we'll work the bugs out. A lot of this is brand new for us, and eventually we'll be able to get an intern or hire somebody to help us. I'm sure we could find somebody to come in and work for us for nothing, practically nothing. All right, now back to Bill's question. When, you know, what happens if AIG goes down? Are we not able to start our cars in the morning or whatever? And Prairie 2 had written this in earlier this evening. The last couple three paragraphs here, the ones that apply to your question, Bill. Under Grassley's reform, we were talking about the 2005 bankruptcy reform bill that was touted as an end to consumer bankruptcy, and it was Chuck Grassley's bill. Under Grassley's reform, holders of credit derivatives who would normally be left holding the bag if a company like AIG went under or even filed Chapter 11, those people, the holders of credit derivatives, instead were catapulted to the front of the line with their hand out for the bankruptcy court to put some money in it. This is the reason Obama cannot let AIG go under, as it would force AIG to pay off God knows how much in derivatives, all of which would automatically go into default and be payable all at once. And that's not the bad part. The masters of the universe in all the banks and companies that got in on the madness sold derivatives on the derivatives. It's thought that they run 10 layers deep and maybe more. This is how you can have $1 quadrillion, that's $1 billion, of these completely worthless pieces of paper based on a few billion dollars in U.S. debt. If this happened and AIG could not pay its derivative debt, or even if it did, it would trigger the next layer of derivatives to all be due immediately, and so on. The resulting panic would destroy the world economy within days. No currency would be worth anything, and it would quickly become dog-eat-dog, not just at the local Walmart, but between nations, as those with military power moved to secure resources for their own people. Now, this can all be unwound, but there are those who want to bring on collapse. So beware the phony outrage from the right. Now, you're not alone, Bill. In, half of 90% of America is screaming, "Let the son of a bitches die!" Guess what? Apparently, they set it up so that they are unkillable. They can't be stopped. In the sense that you're talking about, in the sense that I was thinking about, because I have the same question. Why not just shut the damn place down? Forget about it. Oh, AIG, too big to fail. What the hell does that mean? Well, now I think I understand what that means. There, during the Clinton years, the enabling legislation was passed, and that was the end of Glass-Steagall, a law that went into effect in the 30s to prevent this sort of thing from ever happening again. And as a result of Phil Gramm and Bill Clinton, Glass-Steagall was rescinded. Glass-Steagall said that banks and insurance companies and investment organizations all had to remain separate. And the whole idea was, it was purely physical. That way, if one failed, they wouldn't bring the other ones down with it. But Phil Gramm, this rapacious son of a bitch senator from Texas who wound up on the board of directors of UBS, there's one that should go to jail too. And what he did at UBS was to make sure that Americans wishing to set up tax dodges would have a fellow traveler on the board of UBS, him. It's just filthy. It's unbelievable stuff, stuff that you and I will never understand the fullness of. We just won't. But Clinton and Phil Graham did this. Graham, by leading the charge, writing the legislation, getting it passed in the House and the Senate in 96 or 97. This is right before then they decided to take Bill Clinton down. After doing everything that Bill Clinton was told to do by the corporatists, you know, he signed off on NAFTA. He ended Glass-Steagall. He did everything they asked him to do, and these filthy dogs still brought him down and tried to cut his throat, did cut his throat momentarily. But when Glass-Steagall ended, that opened the door. And it wasn't until Bush 2 that the predators, thousands of them, came rushing in and destroyed everything. It's about 25 before the hour. A couple of emails here, and then back to your phone calls. Jan in New York City writes, Mike, I read this just today. In the world at large, the difference in salary levels is shocking. At the top in Japan, the average executive earns three times as much as the average salaryman. In Britain, top executives earn more than 10 times as much as their Japanese counterparts, or 39 times the average guy on the shop floor. And in America, the poor working stiff supports an executive who earns more than 300 times more than he does. Yeah, well, as we've talked about before, one of the quickest ways to open rebellion is that kind of an economic spread. I mean, you can't have that. I mean, a meritocracy is one thing, but this is a democratic republic, and it's not supposed to be that way. And it wouldn't be that way, except for some craziness that has always been perpetrated against the workers in this country by the bosses. It's always been this way. Only the more it went that way, the more the ruling elites figured, well, what the hell? Let's just keep going. They're not going to stop us. We can start wars with no reason. We can steal other countries' assets and natural resources with no retribution. We can screw the American worker over and over and over again. And when we are finished ruining him and her, then we're going to send their jobs out of the country. And if they don't like it, they can kiss our big, bulbous asses. This is what we do. We are capitalists. We don't care about the worker or his spouse or her spouse or their kids or anything. We don't care about them. Screw them. They are a necessity until we find cheaper labor. Once we find cheaper labor, we're gone. And we go there. And then we'll find cheaper. You know, part of the problem, Ireland is experiencing the same kind of meltdown we're experiencing here, only worse. Ireland. You know, it's St. Paddy's Day. Do you know where the jobs are being shipped to from Ireland? Poland. And why do you suppose that is? And where are they going to go from Poland? I'll tell you where. Uzbekistan. Or Tajikistan. Or Albania. This is what capitalism does, always. It is anti-family. I've been saying this for 25 years. It's anti-family. It's anti-life. And you know it. I mean, the fact I've been saying it for 25 years doesn't mean squat. You know it. The weirdness is that the collapse occurred in our lifetime. You're alive, so am I. We're talking about this. From Tom, Mike, I agree with you 110% about having corporate parasites executed by firing squad, even though I fundamentally am against the death penalty. Certain exceptions need to be made by death penalty opponents when it comes to executing officials, former top government officials, and corporate executives. This is because these vermin are threats to public safety and security. I was never afraid of Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein, but I always was afraid and still am afraid of Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, AIG executives, etc. Power to the people. Tom in Minneapolis. And from Reg, subject line says, let them die, referring to the companies. So long as we insist that recovery, quote, quote, means business as usual, we're doomed. The system on which the Fed and its greatest customer, the U.S. Treasury, is based has failed miserably. These bastards rely totally on consumer debt for their profits, and they are unable to go in any other direction. The big fear now is that government interference in the AIG bonus scrap will discourage both consumer lending and the purchase of the totally worthless derivatives that the banks and other financial institutions used to make their billions. From the Washington Post today, quote, it is a critical juncture for the Obama administration. Officials at the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department are increasingly worried that the controversy could discourage investors from joining a new government effort to revive consumer lending, as well as a separate plan that relies on private money to buy toxic assets from banks, end quote. They have allowed us to fail, Reg writes, so that the capitalist rape of America and the world can end once and for all. They have to be allowed to fail. Well, it just, you know, I hear you, Reg, and that's kind of what I've been saying. But, you know, Prairie 2 scared the bejesus out of me with because he makes a good point. If the entire economic, global economic system collapses, what do you think will happen? Look what's happening in the so-called European Union. Hasn't that turned out to be a joke? Huh? Hasn't, what is it, 23 countries, 22 countries in the European Union? Oh, let's give up our money and go for the euro, which puts them at this horrible situation where if one country starts to fail economically, and they're all using the same denomination, the same type of money, then the other countries that may not be failing are supposed to bail out the one that is, and the other countries in Europe now are saying, what the hell are you talking about? It wasn't supposed to happen this way. Europe is in a more precarious, the 22 or 23 nations that make up the European Union are in a more precarious situation than we are here. And you know why? You know, we are comprised of 50 states. They're comprised of 22 or 23 countries that all speak different languages. And up until a few years ago, when the European Union was finally put together in a half-assed attempt to prevent them from killing each other in any more world wars, when all that happened, the Europeans, unlike the United States or the Canadian provinces, with the exception of Quebec, they speak different languages, they have different cultures, different customs, they all have different monetary systems, different political philosophies. Some of them are extreme right-wing, Italy, almost fascist chaos, or completely socialist, Sweden. And what do you think will happen? I read the other day. Who wrote this? Was it Krugman? I don't know. Somebody wrote this, and it scared the bejesus out of me. The European Union is at a place where as countries in that union start to fail, the other countries are going to say, excuse me, goodbye, happy landings, and they're going to go back. Watch this. Whether we get through this or not, watch an effort being made to go back to the Deutschmark, to go back to the Kroner, to go back to the Lira, to go back to all the money that they all had that would still be worth something were it not for the fact that they're all tied together. This tied together stuff, Jesus H. Christ, look what has happened. And the reason for it is not because necessarily, by definition, one world government is a bad thing. Imagine nobody would go to war anymore. But because it's run by capitalists. Jesus, why is that not obvious? Well, why am I acting like it should be obvious? It shouldn't be. It should be very occult, very hidden. Back to your phone calls. How about Joe, who is listening in Allentown, PA, online. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Wet-brained goof-off Glenn Beck currently has, if I'm reading it correctly, has the number one show in all of cable news, even some nights outmatching Reich Chancellor Hannity. Can you explain that, why that is, why anybody would listen to this?
I can't. I simply can't. I think Glenn Beck is not only is he stupid, unless it's because the audiences realize they're smarter than him, and they're going for the same reason that people like to watch clowns fall on their asses in the Big Top. You know, I don't
right.
know. I have no idea. Glenn Beck, I'm glad he's at Fox instead of at Headline News because he fits right in at Fox. That is a nest of liars unlike anything I've ever seen. I've been in some form of media for almost 40 years, and I've never seen anything like Fox. So
to that point, I've got a question. Because we know that the 400-pound anal cyst, we know he's in the back pocket of all these syndicators, and it's a rigged game, it's a mug's game, it's a shell game. But why is it on TV where it's not as rigged, if I'm correct? Why is it these to have a hammer lock on ratings?
Well, let me answer you on the air online. All right, Joe.
Sounds good.
Okay, I'll try to answer it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
for checking in. I appreciate it. Radio ratings are a scam. They always have been. Anyone who subscribes to Arbitron, and that's most radio stations in any kind of a sizable market, will tell you it's a scam. But they have to live and die by Arbitron ratings. Here's why it's a scam. Television has a device on every TV that registers what you're watching. And you know, you can't fool it because the device is attached. Arbitron, however, uses a diary system. Let me explain it to you when we come back. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Ten before the hour, thanks to the crew tonight, which is very small. Kathy Bay, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Bruce Enberg. And a little tip of the hat to Ian Huff, who continues to provide some needed technical assistance to this program. As far as the sound problems, we'll try to get those worked out. Let's see if we can get that $80 an hour engineer back out here, Kathy. Oh, well, you got to spend money to make money, right? All right, Arbitron, I wanted to explain this as best I can. The question was, why do they get such big ratings? That is so bogus, it's unbelievable. Arbitron is the rating system that radio stations live and die by in this country, and there's not a program director in America who will tell you that it's a good system, unless it happens to be a book where his station is rated highly. Nielsen ratings are determined by devices they put on your television set, and they know exactly what you've been watching and when you watched it. Radio Arbitron, the Arbitron ratings are determined by diaries. Every 3 months, an area is picked in a metro area. Let's take Chicago. And Chicago has an effective listenership of, I don't know, maybe 4 million. That's a good round figure. 4 million possible listeners. Now, those 4 million people probably have access to 20 million radios, but let's just say 4 million listeners. And a sampling will be chosen by a demographic of the company who will say, okay, send 100 books to these people. And the 100 books may go to – it depends on where the books go first. Let's supposing they go to a section of the city that is ethnic, as they say. Let's supposing the next book goes to a section of the city that is mostly white, as they say. When the books go out, a little note, a little letter goes with them. It says, hi, you've been selected. What we want you to do is fill in this diary, put down what you're listening to on such and such a date. Now, right away, you see a flaw, right? Sure, it jumps off the page at you. The flaw being that people lie. And they used to include a dollar bill or a $5 bill when you got the book with the promise that when you sent it in, you get another $5. Woo-hoo! You're supposed to keep this goddamn thing for a month, for 3 months, for a whole quarter, right? And periodically you send in, it used to be about halfway through the book rating period, you'd send in, the pages that you'd filled out up to that point so that they could, Arbitron could put out what they called trends. The trends would be reports go to radio station managers, which would usually give them the runs. The trends would give them the runs because they look at these trends and go, oh my God, we're losing audience. Now, keep in mind that program directors know the whole system is bogus, but advertising rates are determined by these bogus numbers. All right. End of the rating season, all the diaries come back in. Well, not really all of them. Of the 100 people who originally got the diaries, maybe 30 have followed through and sent in the diaries. Now, remember, we're talking about a market of potential 4 million listeners. So 30 people send in. Let's call it 300 people send in, which is about 30% of the number of books that went out. Let's say 1,000 books went out. 300 come back in. Of the 300, probably 150 of them or 100 of them have to be thrown away because they don't make any sense. People don't quite get what they're supposed to do. Of the remaining 200 books, they put down Mike Malloy Show, 9 to midnight. And of those 300, let's say 150 of them put down Mike Malloy Show, 9 to midnight. So they take that 150 and they figure how many books went out, 1,000. So Mike got a 15 share, 15% of the books that went out. And then what they get, they refine the numbers even further, factoring in how many people potentially could listen. And they say, well, he didn't really get a 15 share. He got a 4 share. Now, how they come to that number, I'm still a little bit in the dark. So finally, the Arbitron book comes out. Rush Limbaugh has a 10 share in Chicago. Holy Christ, with 4 million listeners, that means he's got 400,000, the 4 million radio stations, you got 400,000. The number's bogus. The number is a complete lie. It's a lie on Limbaugh. It's a lie on Malloy. It's a lie on Werby. It's a lie on Harrison on the Edge. It's a lie on Nancy Skinner. It's a lie on everybody. How do you get a true reading on who's listening to what? Well, what you have to do is put a device, like a Nielsen device, in every single radio in the country. You see the second flaw, don't you? Can't be done. What Nielsen does, or you select an Arbitron family, like Nielsen does. Only Nielsen doesn't send people a diary, for Christ's sake. They put a device on their television to register what was watched. Right? So when you hear someone say Rush Limbaugh has 20 million listeners a week, that is an absolute, complete lie. I'm not saying he doesn't have a big audience. On any given day, he might have as many as 1.5 million listeners. This program may, on any given day, counting the source of the ways people can listen, may have as many as 200,000 listeners. But nobody knows, and nobody ever will know. So it's all a scam. when you hear that somebody was fired because they didn't get good ratings, that's always been a real shocker to people in the radio business, because they will go into the program director and say, don't fire me, it was a bad book. The next book will be better. The next book won't go to the rednecks. The next book will go to ethnics. And you know, after all, since I'm an African American, I do better with ethnics than I do with the rednecks. You see, the whole thing is and always has been an absolute scam. It's designed to satisfy the advertisers. Those books also go to the ad agency. So when a company calls up an ad agency, says, I'd like to put a commercial on WLS between noon and 3, how much audience do they have? Well, they have this number. Bat squeeze. If you're still on hold, I'm sorry we didn't get to you tonight. We'll get you tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. It's not pleasant to talk about, but it's one thing that every man over the age of 30 should know about, an enlarged prostate. Prostate enlargement can cause frequent urination and even sexual problems. So between getting up in the middle of the night to urinate and your sexual inadequacies, an enlarged prostate becomes a giant pain in the... Well, you get the idea. Now, what if I...